men that bring a new style to professional wrestling that's quickly carrying them to the heights. The new breed, Sean
new
Royal.
New is Kent. The word. Everybody, just let your wildest imagination run wild. Now picture this. The old fossil, the boogeyman, and his GoBot friend. The boogeyman's on his big Harley Davidson here, and the robot's over there on his moped going down the highway. About 40, 45 miles an hour. Now picture this. Here comes the new breed on the space cycles. What do you think when you think of that? No comparison, baby. No comparison. The boogeyman and Lasertron have barked up the wrong tree. They've driven their mopeds down the wrong road and are definitely, definitely in for a big surprise.
Yes.
You know, Bob, when a new breed came here, we made a little trip. And with the use of the space bridge, we traveled to the world of Cybertron. And the Decepticons and all the High Council of Cybertron told us of the weakness of Lasertron, the Matrix, the power of all Autobots. Well, we are going to pull that Matrix right out from your heart, Lasertron, and destroy you from time itself. Because Ultra Magnus, Galvatron, Scourge, and the rest of all of the Decepticons are on our side, and they have told us of what we are supposed to do. We are going to delete, disinfigurate, discombobulate, take you from world, space, time itself, and they'll never ever hear of Lasertron or the Boogie Woogie Man ever again, because a new breed is here, and a new breed is here to stay. 2002, and you people are never ever going to forget it. Don't ever forget it, if you know what's good.
And Road Warriors meet Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, and Nikita Koloff to make a special appearance on these limited edition cups. Collect all your favorites with 32 ounces of any fountain drink. Only 69 cents each at Crown Express Marts, Fast Fare, and Zippy Marts.
They're big. They're bad.
Every time you look at a pair of scissors, do you think of Psycho Sid and Arn Anderson? We do. So listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, the Impact Player.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant. EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rantum.
You'll have to keep that one.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
One place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
We'll be right back.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Shout out to Mike, Kevin Castle's brother. That's his band, The Last Stand.
I didn't even know he had a band.
Oh, shit. He had another band, too. The whole Scandato crew, the Castle crew, is fucking amazing talent.
Speaking of Kevin, one of my friends from work actually played at his club.
You know the name of the band?
No, she was playing acoustically.
Oh, acoustically.
She played an acoustic, she was playing, I was like, who's your band? She was like, no, it was by myself, I played acoustic. I was like, really?
Oh.
How'd you draw? She was like, eh, didn't draw too well, I drew maybe about 30 people.
That happens.
It's okay.
It's a start, you know?
And I asked her, did you see Kevin there? She was like, I don't know, for some reason whenever I played there, he's never there.
It depends, you know, he could do a lot from home now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he was always hands-on, like he was always at the club, like he fucking lived there, basically.
Yeah.
The old club, anyway, Castle Heights. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It is Friday, was it 24th? I think it's the 24th. Me and Choppy lost count.
It is the 24th, you're right.
And your gracious host, the impact player, Mr. Philly Rea, joined always by...
the man called Choppy. Hello, fuck bags and mooks of all ages.
And mooks.
That's my new word. I love that word. Okay, terrific. There you go.
We're live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, as always. And
we have in the house Mario from the Barrio.
Mario.
Shaolin from the Shaolin.
Hello there.
And Tom.
Oh, Mott.
Mott Bach.
Yeah, Mott's Bach.
Mott's Bach.
Yeah, man. So, and everybody else listening on TuneIn, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, me and Choppy were just talking about how tired we were. It's been a long week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's been a long week. You know, so, I know I piss and moan a lot about my commute because I live on Staten Island. And I do that because, I don't know, I just, not that I have like a sense of entitlement or anything like that, but I feel like, every time I try to plan something with my commuter, every time I leave early, or every time I try to do something different, it always fucking backfires on me. This being no exception, you know, so...
I was going to ask you, how's your arm, by the way?
I was going to talk about that.
Oh, my God.
So, for those who don't have me on Facebook, and be glad you know, because all I do is piss and moan about my commute. So... as you know, I take these buses to New York City, Manhattan, called express buses. And what they are is they're buses that make limited stops in your borough where you live to directly to Manhattan.
Correct.
And there's a plethora of them all along each borough. Each borough has them. Staten Island being no exception. Staten Island is the outer borough. It's the ass end of the five boroughs. It's connected to New Jersey. It basically can be New Jersey.
I think it should be called Staten Island, New Jersey, to be honest with you.
Staten Jersey?
Yeah.
So now, the for a long time, some of these buses have extremely long routes.
Mm-hmm.
Like long routes meaning stops, right? So there was a series of meetings, community board meetings, with the Mass Transit Association. Right, Metropolitan Transit, the MTA. And finally, the MTA had this new plan, this new contingency. They were going to implement a brand new set of routes and new names for all these buses. Some of them make limited runs, some of them don't run at all, and some of them just make, like, depending on where you live, well, you know, it's like two stops and then Manhattan. And then at night, they run a couple of buses for the commuters like me who work after hours, not the rush hour. Because basically, my shift ends an hour after the rush. My shift ends at 8 o'clock at night, right? So, ironically, I take three different buses during the week, okay? I take, in the morning, a certain one, then another one coming home, and then on Thursdays, my early day, I take a different one coming home, because it's a different time of the day. So now, none of my stops, as of last Monday, existed. Every stop I used ceased to exist. So now I have to reroute my schedule, reroute where. So the guy was telling me, well, you know, all your stops are only 5 minutes away from where you are. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So, it's not true. He's full of shit. It's not. It's fucking very long. and now I have to leave earlier.
Correct.
To fucking leave in the morning.
You said it was a 5-minute walk. I was like, mm.
It's about 13 to 15 minutes.
Correct.
So now, that was funny. So now coming home Monday night, I had to get instead of going to 7th Avenue, I had to go to 5th Avenue. I said, all right, it said the directions say go to 5th Avenue and 55th Street. I'm sorry, 6th Avenue. Okay. I get off 6th Avenue, I walk down a block, there's no bus stop. I'm walking towards 55th, and I see the bus fucking driving past me. So I jump in the middle of the fucking street, and I jump in front of the bus. I'm like, wait a minute. He's like, you all right? I'm like, dude, where's the fucking bus stop? He's like, he goes, come on, I'll show you. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I normally don't do shit like this. He's like, no, don't worry about it. It's been a shit show, this whole route thing. So he's complaining also. He goes, it's down the block. I'm like, but the directors tell me it's here. He's like, no, it's another block. So I have to walk another fucking block. I'm like, all right, whatever. And in Manhattan, the city blocks are longer. It's like, whatever. So now we figured this out. So now I took a different route. That was Tuesday. Monday, I took a bus. I took a train into Brooklyn and took the 79 bus. And I got home the same time.
It's still, that bus is putrid, though.
Actually, it makes less stops than the express bus on Highland. The only difference is, though, I couldn't get a seat.
I had to stand.
So now, fucking Thursday morning, I have to leave at the ass crack of dawn because I have an earlier shift, right? Mm-hmm. So now I walk to this new bus stop, right? And I have it timed. I'm like, I'm going to get there early. Got my granola bar. I'm going to be fine. This is going to be great. Dude, I get to Caton and Eltingville Boulevard. I'm a half a block in because the bus is on Richmond and Caton. Now, I live on Caton, but you know Caton cuts off.
Correct.
Right? So, dude, the bus is fucking coming past me. It's 8 minutes early. So I fucking run for it. I jet, and for a big guy, I'm pretty quick actually. You see me run,
pretty agile,
right? I get to the bus. I'm the last one on, and the guy, there's one guy ahead of me. He gets on. I go to step on the bus. As I go to step on the bus, I grab the rail. No. Right before I step on, the dude closes the fucking door on my entire arm.
Oh my god!
And drags me 3 feet. I fucking bang, you motherfucker! I'm banging on the door, motherfucker! And he stops, he's like, the dude panicked. He didn't even see me. He's like, you okay? No, I'm not okay! How do you not see? I'm 300 fucking pounds, how do you miss me? You know? I'm like, man, what a fucking shit show. So of course I Facebook about it. Everybody's like, oh, you should have fucking called EMS, you should have sued the city, you could have had Mikey's fucking tuition fund for college. I'm like, you know, everybody wants to make a fucking buck. It was fucked up. It was an accident. Like, I didn't get hurt. If I got hurt, that's a different story. I didn't get hurt. I was a little sore. That was it. I'm not a scumbag. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the kind of dude. You know what I'm saying? I thought about it. I'm not going to lie about it. I fucking thought about it.
Not that it matters. What ethnicity was the bus driver?
He looked late 50s white dude, maybe.
He's a white dude.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Really, does it matter, or?
Well,
for you, it matters.
Choppy's a pain in the ass. I thought he was a DWO.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible.
So anyway.
Continue.
I get to the city. Now, my first stop every day on Thursday mornings is Walgreens. It opens at 7. I get there like 5 minutes before 7 mm-hmm. sometimes. Now I'm here early because of this fucking route or whatever. Starts to pour. Of course, I have no umbrella. And now, this dude's fucking late. They don't open the store till like fucking 7:15. I'm like, I just want my Red Bull and my soda for the day. Like, I stock up, you know? Because I'm not paying fucking $7 for a Red Bull anyway in these little fucking candy stores in Manhattan.
Why not?
Because I'm fucking poor. So anyway.
Sorry.
Right. So, you know, and this dude's like, yo, I'm sorry, man. I'm the only one here. I'm like, dude. Like, you just lost, like, 7 customers. Like, there was, like, 8 people outside looking to get into this fucking place to go shopping, you know? So he apologized. I'm like, whatever. So finally I got my breakfast. I'm walking to work. I'm a block away. I'm on fucking First Avenue. And it stops raining. I'm like, oh, good, stops raining. This fucking jerk-off with a Mary Poppins umbrella, right? This umbrella was as big as me, okay? This dude sidesteps and walks directly into me. with this umbrella. Knocks my fucking headphones clear off my head.
Oh, now Big Phil's pissed off now.
And I'm like, my hands are up. I'm like, really? He goes, sorry. I'm like, it's not even fucking raining, jerk off. He's like, what? I'm like, it's not even fucking raining, jerk off. You heard me? Jerk off. He goes, I'm sorry. You better be fucking sorry, you fucking hipster fucking trash cocksucker. So now I'm yelling at this fucking guy. Now I'm just fucking angry. I said, if this is any indication on how my day is going to be, I'm going to turn around, get back on one of these fucking shit show buses, and I'm going home. I'm going to put my other arm in the fucking door and just go home and call it a day, right? So I get to work. And, I only accepted this mutual to work at an early shift because it's my boy Simon that I work with. You met Simon. He was at the ball game with us, the Colombian kid. So it's me and Simon. He's like, what's up, Primo? I'm like, not good. So my director walks in, and he's fucking like, and my director, for some reason, loves me in the up there on Thursdays. He's like, oh, I get to hear Phil on the mic today, and listen, that's my dog, my big dog. I'm like, not today, boss. He goes, what? I tell him what happened. He's laughing hysterically. I'm like, you find this fucking funny? He goes, you know what, Phil? He goes, it's all out of your system now. I'm like, what? He goes, it's all out of your system. You're going to have a great day. I said, you know this. Because you know, me and Simon are up here. Shit just falls apart. We have to fix everything, right? He goes, today nothing's going to fall apart. You and Simon are going to have a fucking great day. I said, well, listen. My arm hurts. My headphones are scratched. My nerves are shot. Now I have the fucking runs. Tell me how this is going to get better. He's like, it's going to get better. So, of course, I pop a couple of Imodium. I drink my Red Bull. The day becomes progressively better. And I got another bus home yesterday and got home like 10 minutes early.
Okay.
But I still had to walk from fucking Leverett and Cologne.
Okay.
So yeah. It's like the same distance. Like it's a fucking, you know, it's a shit show. So like, I'm processing all this, dude. Like I'm really fucking processing it. I'm like, you know something? I said, this is God. And I'm not really a big spiritual person, but I do believe, you know, I go to church and all that. This is God testing me. Someone upstairs is saying, listen, fatty, need to get your shit together and do something else, right? Or do something, or just, this is their way of telling me that it's going to get better. You just have to go through this now because, you know. People are like, oh, buy a car. I'm like, it's so easy for you people to say
no,
that.
No, don't buy a car. You don't understand what it's like to find parking on the Upper East Side in fucking Manhattan, people. Don't buy a car. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, my wife's aunt, God bless her, she's a nice person, but she's fucking old. She's never driven in her life and has the balls to keep telling me, get a car. You'll figure it out. Why not? No, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm not going to fucking get parking tickets like my colleagues do every single day. Even with the fucking EMS plackets in the window.
It's not worth it, people.
Right. And you got to pay fucking $60 a day to park?
No.
Suck a dick. And then the tolls? Even though the tolls are half because I'm a Staten Island resident?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's gas, tolls, maintenance.
At that point, it's better if you catch the bus because you're saving yourself tons of money. And then yeah. It's like, so like, for example, Phil probably spends, what, $650 on the express
bus?
Well,
I fluctuate between $160 and $200 a month.
That's not bad.
For mass transit.
It's not bad.
Depending on the route I take.
That it's better than paying $200 a week
on gas, tolls. Yeah, yeah.
$200 a week as opposed to $200 a month is not bad. It's pretty good, and that's the reality of commuting in the five boroughs. Right. People, you don't understand until you actually do it, live it, and experience it. It's not easy. Luckily for me, I'm in a block where I have two stops that I can go from. I gave you the catch to stop on Victory Boulevard and Morani. Or Victory, or Morani and Richmond Avenue. Those yeah. Richmond and Victory run parallel with each other.
Yeah, Choppy lives near Richmond Avenue like I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I have options. Phil does not.
I have no.
I the bus route that I took has not changed. The only thing that changed is the name of the bus.
Right. Then the difference, too, is you have more buses going to more areas.
Correct.
For me, it's either downtown or midtown.
That's it.
And that's it.
I have downtown, midtown, and then sometimes even uptown.
Yeah.
So
because you're close, you're closer to the middle of the island.
Correct. So people, if you tell us, hey, drive to the city, how about drive my fist to your face, motherfuckers? How about them apples?
Yeah, and I know she means well, but like,
no offense,
she's never driven in her life.
Yeah, so
she's like 60 years old, never had a driver's license.
Yeah, then
even though I don't like to drive, even if I had the fucking even if I had the opportunity, the only time you know where I would drive my car? To the transit station.
Yeah.
And take the bus from there. I would drive to the transit station, park my car on the lot.
Yeah, because it's free. Isn't it free over there?
Yeah. And then I would fucking drive home. That's what my brother boss used to do before he quit. And does what you do now.
You know what I don't like is, today I drove, because it's in Woodhaven. There's really, the only train I can get in Woodhaven's the J.
The J. But even then, you have to walk from Woodhaven in Jamaica to the fucking park. Or take a bus.
It's either take the bus or it's like a 3-block walk, I think.
It's a little more than that.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, I'm going to drive. Coming home, man, dude, I was on the Bell Parkway coming home.
It's a shit show.
Not even that. I was falling asleep, dude.
Oh, you were tired.
My fear is not... See, the thing is, I don't mind the traffic. It's fear. Other people. It's my fear of falling asleep. I will fall asleep on the wheel.
Yeah.
See, if I catch the bus, if I fall asleep on the bus, that's okay.
Right.
If I miss a stop, fuck it. I miss a stop. At least I'm safe.
Right.
I don't know if I've told this story before, but I've actually one time, I shit you not, one time, driving home from work a couple of years ago, when I just first started, I wasn't used to this whole schedule of getting up at like 4:30 in the morning. Coming home, I actually drove on the Staten Island Expressway, fell asleep on the wheel. It was late at night. Nobody was on the road, thank God. I passed exit 11. I know, I drove past 13, 12, and 11, which is Bradley Avenue.
Yeah.
And I woke up.
Oh, shit.
And I was still on the right lane by the shoulder. What saved me was when I was, you know, those little bumps on the shoulder lane that make you, that woke me up.
Of course.
If it wasn't for that.
That's why they're there.
If it wasn't for that, I would have been fucked.
Bro, that's fucked. That's crazy.
That's why I prefer, and people are like, oh, you know, the MTA sucks. Yeah, it sucks, but at least it's a lifesaver sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the other night when the guy who I stopped, trying to find the bus stop.
Yeah.
There's a rule. If it's after 10 o'clock, they have to stop wherever you ask them to, even if it's not a bus stop.
Really?
So it was like 10:03, and I'm like, listen, I said, I know I'm the only one on the bus. I said, do you mind if you stop at the old bus stop instead of Richmond and Caton? Can you stop at Richmond and Genesee so I can get off and walk? He's like, yeah, no problem. I said, I appreciate that, you know. I said, because I understand. I said, listen, I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just... He said, no. He goes, this whole route thing's been a shit show.
I'm sure it is.
People are outraged on it. I'm looking at social media. People are outraged. And you know what? The one bus driver, she said to me before this all went down, she said, why don't you put in a complaint? I'm like, why am I going to complain for? Like, they're not going to fix it. It ain't their fault that all my stops were taken away.
It's the higher-ups in MTA. They're the ones that made these decisions.
Right, yeah. That's like, and, you know, it's going to inconvenience me. In the long run, it's probably going to help you guys. I said, there has to be a medium. Am I mad? Absolutely. I hate where I live. I hate the fucking commute. Sometimes I hate my job. I'm really good at my job, though, so it depends, you know. But, like, I'm just like... It something's got to give. You know, everybody's like, why don't you get a job out here? A work out on the island. I'm like, I can, and take a $10 pay cut. Why would I do that? I have to change my lifestyle just for my commute? It's not worth it. I've earned my fucking spot, you know?
Been there for years. Why would you all of a sudden be like...
Right, 100%.
Yeah, leave and then take a pay cut just to have you know, listen, people, you don't... Unless you live... In the five boroughs of New York City, you don't understand how expensive it is to live in this area. You don't get it.
Yeah.
Even though Staten Island is the cheapest borough out of all the other boroughs, it's still a little expensive to live here, too. So, yeah, we choose to have these shitty commutes. We choose to work these crazy hours to make ourselves, you know, somewhat financially stable.
Yeah.
And... That's what we choose, and that's our choice. Can we make other choices? Yeah, but why? so that way we could suffer even more in another avenue.
Financially,
another,
yeah.
Yeah, well, financially, I guess, no, we don't want that.
Like, in hindsight, I have a really tit schedule.
Your schedule's not bad, dude.
I
work Monday through Thursday?
Yeah.
And you're home Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That took me 10 years to get.
And you finally got it.
And I finally got it. So I've been doing this for 2 years. And I'm, like, second in seniority with scheduling and stuff like that.
So they got you.
Right. So I'm set. I have 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks vacation every year. Like, I'm fucking, I just got a raise. So I'm like, I'm okay. You know what I'm saying?
The only thing that sucks is that you have to work 10 hours.
10-hour days, right. I'd rather, back in the day, we did three eights and a 16.
Oof.
Which wasn't terrible. 16, if you had a good schedule. 16 hours is rough, yeah.
It's tough.
It is rough. But, again, you still had 3 days off.
Correct.
So, it is what it is.
Yep.
I'd rather work a 12-hour. I'd rather work 3 12s. Have 3 off, 2 on. Like, you know how the firefighters do it?
The nurses do like that. Do that shit, too.
Yeah, nurses do it, too. Right. So, but it is what it is.
Certain FDNY people that I know,
yeah,
they'll do, like, 2 24-hour
That's shit. The firemen. The firemen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the EMS fitness side.
Firemen do that. I know those guys from the two firemen. They do 2 24-hour shifts.
And those guys commute now. They'll go to Penn. See, that's the thing, too. Like, if I'm going to commute fucking 4 hours a day, I'd... Like, my one supervisor lives in the Poconos, right?
Oh, my God.
Wait. So, coming in is fine. He gets off at work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sitting on I-80 for 2 hours, going 90 miles,
no,
is fucking torture. He sits in traffic every single day. But he has a fucking nice home. He's at a tits gig. He does Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 hours, and then Thursday, 16, and then goes home for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah.
But no way.
But if, you know what I'm saying, I would rather, you know, it is what it is. So, that's been our work.
You got the good and the bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a sign. Like, something's telling me, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is like a test.
I mean, something is going to come by your way.
Yeah, and I'm going to take advantage of it.
When you least expect it, and boom. You're gonna be like, yep, this is it.
So, it's all going to pay off for me. I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it.
I'm sure of it.
I feel it.
I feel like you're going to have a promotion on your way coming. I don't know why.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. So, we got some announcements.
Yes,
we got some announcements. Let's do the big one first.
Yeah.
So, Choppy and I have been talking, and he got a promotion at work. He's going to be getting more big profile gigs, and it's going to be harder for him to do the weekends shows. And I work early on Thursdays.
Yep.
So we're going to starting September 6th, I believe it is.
Let me confirm that real quick, which I believe you're right.
Right? September 6th, I believe?
Hold on. September 6th, which is the week of Labor Day.
Right after. So the Thursday.
Thursday right after Labor Day.
Thursday after Labor Day, we'll be going live same time.
Except
for Thursdays.
That's the big announcement.
That's one of the big announcements. The other announcement is that night, our buddy John Rage is calling in.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
To promote FTW.
Thank God.
So we're going to be doing some Friday shows once in a while.
Yeah.
Like September 20.
Yeah, the 20.
The 4th, I think it is, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. We're going to be doing FTW the 24th.
Right.
So that's going to be great.
Yeah. So for people who still listen on Fridays, as of now, there's no programming on Rant EM that's going to coincide with anything. So AA had told me that he's going to replay the throwbacks on Friday nights for people. You know, he's going to stream it live at 9 o'clock. So for people who still want to listen on Friday nights, listen on Friday.
Correct.
Nights.
Trying to see if I got any negative comments or positive. Actually, Shailene likes the change.
Yeah,
she said cool.
Yeah. So Thursday is, and you know, we're not competing with anybody. Like, I know Wrestling Soup goes on. We're nowhere near Wrestling.
Yeah, we're not trying to compete with Wrestling. So we're just changing the schedule around just to benefit our lives. Well, technically mostly me.
And I'm gonna talk to Mish. I was gonna send him a message, but I'm probably gonna see him this weekend coming up at in Chicago. So yeah. I'm gonna talk to him and just let him know. Out of respect, I'm gonna let him know unless he listens to this first, which I doubt. But yeah, so that's our that's the big deal that we had going on. What else is going on? Let's see. I announced that. Okay.
By the way, for the FTW show, we're doing 8 o'clock again, or is it 7?
I think it's 7. Ringside is sold out.
Yes, that's right. So Ringside is sold out. They still have, I think, General Admission is still...
General Admission, I think, is $20 or $25.
Which is not bad.
Anybody who's local in the five boroughs, wants to come to the show, please let us know. We'll send you all the information. Sal and Chuck, they run, they're in charge of the Sacred Heart School in Glendale, Queens. They do an amazing job. It's a it's a family-friendly show.
It is.
Like Choppy said last week, great wrestling.
Not just great wrestling, surprisingly great wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you normally when you go to, like, these indie events, you know, you're expecting generic, you know, standard mechanical wrestling. And, you know, the event that we went to was actually very, very good. We had the Grim Reaper was there, John Rage, the coach, Chris. We had the Ellsworth. We got to see Ellsworth last time. We actually witnessed the World Heavyweight title match.
Yep.
Where Ellsworth actually won the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So we might see a world title match where, since Ellsworth is in, I guess, is Ellsworth still with the, no, he's not there no more, WWE?
I think he's like per diem. He gets paid per show.
Per show.
He's not like a contracted regularly.
So we might see him there. We never know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very exciting. And then, of course, we got invited back, which is, you know, thank you very much, Sal, for letting us come back.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I guess the guys do like us there. I mean, they seem to like us.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we could, instead of going to Sacred Heart all the time, maybe they'll invite us to other places eventually, besides the Sacred Heart
location. Yeah, they do Brooklyn, they do Florida, they do a bunch of places.
Yeah, they do Florida. I don't know if they're going back to Florida again, but they...
Not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon, but, you know. Yeah.
So shout out to them. I want to give a shout out to Nick German. Nick won't be checking in tonight. He's on vacation.
Yeah, I believe he just sent me a text message. Yeah. I forgot to answer him. He said that
572 followers now on Instagram.
We're getting close to 600. Phil, Nick, you're doing a great job, dude. Keep it up.
Yes, thank you.
All the pictures that you're posting up are fantastic. People seem to like the pictures, and those hashtags are definitely working, man.
Yeah.
So keep it up. Thank you so much.
In terms of next week. Sadly, now Choppy will not be in Chicago with me.
Yeah, well, now, guys, it's, you know, financially just not happening for me this time around. But
so I will be broadcasting from Chicago. I don't know; it might be either Thursday night or maybe Friday, afternoon. If it's going to be any time, it'll be Thursday night because no one's coming in to Chicago to meet me, but I'm going to be the first one there before the crew gets there. So the plan right now is to broadcast from there. Possibly, I'll have the technology. Choppy will probably call in.
I could Skype in.
You could Skype in. And, you know, if not, if he can't, then I'm going to be doing something live.
And you also got the Mandingos there. So if you want the Mandingos to join.
Well, no, not Thursday. Well, Friday night, we're going out. Friday,
oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So Thursday, you're doing it, yeah.
Yeah, Thursday, I'm probably going to broadcast from the hotel.
Okay.
And, you know, because I'm closer to... So if anybody, our Midwest friends, anybody who's going to be in the area wants to do some turnbuckle throwbacks with me, let me know. I'll have the mic, what do you call that mic? The fucking round one that I have. It's the ball, the blue balls. Whatever it's fucking called.
Yeah.
The snowball. That's it. So we'll have that, and I'll be doing something. So we'll do something from all in. We'll have some coverage. Rob is going to be working on video there. My cousin Anthony's going to be doing video. We'll all be doing video. I'm actually going to bring the iPhone, I think, to, you know, just in case or whatever. So it's going to be fun. And so you'll get something out of Turnbuckle Throwback for Rant DM and the Shining Wizards Network.
Correct.
So just keep it locked onto the social media. I'm going to be posting stuff like crazy. Once I land, I'm going to be posting shit like crazy. Speaking of All In, I have the card so far.
Dude, it's a stacked fucking card, man.
It's a stacked card. Let's go over it real quick. Kenny Omega is going to fight Pentagon.
That's going to be dope.
Okay. There's an over-budget battle royal.
Over-budget.
Here's the names announced.
Okay.
Jordan Grace. She's like a hot independent wrestler right now. Moose. Rocky Romero. Colt Cabana. Ethan Page. Brian Cage. Billy Gunn. Jimmy Jacobs. Marco Stunt. And Brandon Cutler. The winner of the battle royal will take on Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor Championship.
Wow. So I would like to see Brian Cage go up against Jay Lethal.
I think Moose is going to win.
You think it's going to be Moose?
Or that Jordan Grace chick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think so. The Briscoe brothers take on SoCal Uncensored.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
This is the worst town I've ever... They have a shirt like that. Have you seen that shirt?
Oh, the shirt that they have now? Yeah.
This is the worst town I've ever been in.
Yeah. Those guys are great.
Yeah. Chris Espo's texting me.
It's okay.
Working on some fucking strat trades. Christopher Daniels against Arrow. Stephen Amell.
Oh, my God.
So, SoCal Uncensored is going to be Frankie Kazarian, Scorpion Sky taking on the Briscoes, and the other, their brother, Christopher Daniels, will be taking on Stephen Amell. Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Taking on the Golden Elite.
What?
The Bucks and Kota Ibushi.
What? Yeah. Oh, my God.
The villain, Marty Scurll, who's involved in the Junior Heavyweight Championship Tournament because Takahashi's hurt, will be taking on the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, when I saw that, that was really cool.
And for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, the oldest belt in professional wrestling, Cody Rhodes goes up against Nick Aldis.
Formerly known as Magnus.
Magnus!
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 I really, 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 really hope Cody Rhodes wins this belt.
Oh, yeah. Joey Janela is fighting, too. I think he's fighting Hangman Page.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. That's going to be good, too.
Yeah.
I believe Tessa's going to be
wrestling. Tessa Blanchard's
going to
be there?
She's wrestling, too. She's all in.
Yep.
I really hope Cody gets his belt.
Me too.
If he wins, first father-son combo to win the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
This belt dates back to 1905 to George Hackenschmidt.
Hackenschmidt. I like the way you say it. So say it again.
Hackenschmidt. Hackenschmidt.
Hackenschmidt.
Hackenschmidt.
Hackenschmidt.
And George Lundis.
Lundis.
Lundis. The Mook from Greece.
Okay, terrific.
Okay, so that's out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, so you'll be getting some coverage. I'll be taking pictures. I was thinking about going to the convention, but because no one's going to be around, I'm going to be really close to the event. I booked my hotel now. Since you guys aren't going, I moved my hotel closer to Robin and Elaine, a little further out from the venue. But I still may go to the convention because I'm going to be there on Thursday.
How much is the convention?
I don't even know.
It's probably not a lot. It's like 50 bucks.
I have no idea. I might go. I'm not sure. I'm undecided.
Gotcha.
Since Friday, we'll do all the touristy shit and go to the baseball game.
Oh, definitely let me know how that deep dish casserole is going to be.
Yeah. We'll see. See how that fucking goes. I heard it's tremendous, actually.
Rob says it's good.
And Rob's a foodie. Like, Rob's a food
guy. No, stop.
Oh, yeah.
After his Instagram post? No.
Oh, yeah. He's a fucking... Him and Joel Gertner should do a fucking food show together.
Could you imagine Rob and Joel doing a food podcast?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I could definitely...
I'd be down for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that Joel doesn't know Rob. Joel should know Rob, though. Everybody should know Rob.
Joel's actually very nice.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's nice.
He's a good dude. He's solid. So is Rob, obviously.
Yeah, we'll keep him around.
Yeah.
He's not a pain in the ass like me.
No.
He's a pain in the ass. So Mario said, I think he called me a Texas-sized pain in the ass, Mario from the Barrio. Well,
Mario is from Texas.
Yes.
And he knows everything's bigger in Texas.
But Texas is still not bigger than Alaska.
Doesn't matter. Everything is big in Texas. They do stuff big in Texas.
Like what?
Everything.
Like what?
Everything.
What, they got big bitches over there?
They got big everything. They got big hats.
Mm.
They got big hats.
What kind of... do they like their hats?
You like this hat? You better like this hat. That's no lie.
That shit never gets old, man.
No.
Put your hand on this...
If you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of
your face.
Tip my hat too late. I'd rather tip my hat to a Jezebel on the street.
The dream, baby.
Oh, dude, that shit is funny, bro.
Did I ever play the other ones? You know the other ones that I have here, right?
Which one?
Oh, there's a Who Be Bad Now?
Oh, you didn't play that. You didn't play that one.
I have this forever.
Oh, this is Macho Man punching into Kevin Nash at Bash at the Beach. I remember that. Who Be Bad Now? Oh, my favorite one is when he does the Benoit and the Kevin Sullivan. Woman in the men's John. Can you believe that? Yes, did you see what Barrio said in the chat room?
No.
He says, we have a pizza that's as big as Nia's ass. That's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Mario, you're a hoot.
So did you, I know you guys left early Sunday, didn't finish watching SummerSlam. Did you finish watching SummerSlam at home?
I did. Oops. And still didn't care for the show. I didn't care for it.
Was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
It was just as shit as I thought it was going to be. My expectations were not that big on the show, and it still didn't supersede my expectations on it.
Let's go over the card real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Cien Almas and Zelina Vega beat Rusev and Lana.
I called this. It was going to be Zelina Vega.
Cedric beat Drew Gulak.
You called that one. I thought it was going to be Gulak winning.
Yeah, Seth Rollins beat Ziggles for the IC strap.
We called that.
That was a fun match.
I thought Ambrose was going to turn, but no.
New Day defeated the Bludgeon Brothers by DQ.
I think I said it was the Bludgeon were going to win. No, they were going to win, but they lost. So you called that one.
But the Bludgeon Brothers, somebody got hurt, I think. One of them got hurt.
I think it was Big E.
Yeah. Somebody got hurt like after that. So I think they won the titles on SmackDown, didn't they?
The New Day did win the titles. Yeah,
the Bludgeon Brothers are hurt. So Braun Strowman beat Kevin Owens.
Which I think was a fucking travesty, by the way. I love Braun Strowman, but why would you, if you're going to make him lose, at least lose in a proper match, not a squash.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair beat Carmella and Becky to be the new SmackDown Women's Champion, and then, of course, Becky does the heel turn, which I would have rather have seen win.
But in storyline, it's brilliant, but think about it for a second. She's justified for what she did. Why do you think she got cheered?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. She's been screwed out of every title match. Her quote, best friend on TV wins the belt from her. Of course the fans are going to cheer her. Everyone was so happy when Becky did this. They were like, you fucking deserve this. Not fucking Charlotte. Come on. I mean, how many title wins is Charlotte going to have? 20? Like her father? Come on, dude. It's just not cool. I mean, I understand the heel turn, but like, people are still going to cheer Becky no matter what.
Finn Balor emerges as the demon and beats Constable Corbin. But at least they're giving him fucking title matches now. Because the next night he got a title match against Roman Reigns.
And this is exactly the run of the reasons why I wanted the belt off of Lesnar. Because they were not going to give him a title match against Lesnar. Because in Vince's eyes, it's a mismatch.
Yeah.
And unfortunately. But I love the fact that now he's becoming a main event player now again. Thank God, because he deserves it. He's been through shit for so long.
Shinsuke retained his U.S. strap against Jeff Hardy.
It was a fun little match.
That was fun.
It was a fun match.
I called this. Ronda Rousey won the championship.
I called Alexa Bliss. Yep.
I called Ronda Rousey. I'm telling you, man, I like everything about her. I know she's not great yet. I know she's not doing anything wonderful. I think the longer she stays, the better she's going to get. And I think she's charismatic enough. I think she fits right in with them.
She has charisma, but she still needs a lot of work on the mic.
100%. 100%. I'm not, like I said, the longer she stays there, the better she's going to get. And, of course, Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar.
Oh, here we go. Shaylin just confirmed that Eric Rowan suffered a bicep tear.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out for a minute, dude. Ugh. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. Hopefully the Usos now could step back up and fucking, or the Authors of Pain. They got to do something. They gotta do something with these tag teams because they're getting some decent tag teams now.
All right, because now, what about Sanity?
Yeah,
Sanity would be. Sanity I would like to see great. Sanity and New Day go at it.
100%.
They're not using them properly.
Yeah, Psychos with the pancakes and fucking that's perfect.
I would love that.
That's perfect. Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, the Roman Reigns thing, the only thing that bothered me was how they dealt with Braun Strowman.
like, how you gonna put him there? And like, it was just, it didn't feel right. You know what I'm saying?
It was stupid.
Am
I happy that he got the belt? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank fucking God that belt is off of Lesnar. I fucking couldn't stand anymore. I mean, a lot of people boo the fuck out of Roman Reigns, but you know what? I'll boo the people that were there, because you fucking marks wanted Lesnar again to win? Yeah. No!
Here's the funny thing, too, and we did a pre-show that afternoon with the rant, and I said, listen, as much as I told Tony, see this, too. I said, as much as you guys fucking shit on Roman Reigns, as much as you guys all love Brock Lesnar, there's got to be a point where the belt has to become relevant again. I can get over the fact that he's part time, that he's only going to make a couple of appearances. But here's the thing: the less he's on TV, the less relevant his championship becomes. That championship has to be the focal point of certain people's character movement.
Yeah, drive and focus.
Right. You know, like no one has. People don't come out and cut promos. I want to be the world champion. Why? Because your world champion has been on fucking TV in 8 weeks.
And this is not to discredit the Intercontinental title, because to me it's one of the most prestigious titles in all of
wrestling. It might be the most prestigious.
I would agree. When you go on a show and you're a main event player, you don't go up and be like, you know what? I'm here because I want to win the Intercontinental title. No.
Yeah.
You're there because you want to be the cream of the crop. The number one guy, the face of the company. You want to be the world heavyweight champion. And when your world heavyweight champion is not there due to some fucking contract he signed with the company where he makes sporadic appearances, that puts it makes your champion look bad. It makes your title look bad. And on top of that, you have this big-ass W on the title, right? That was so that way, if your champion makes media appearances, they know that that title signifies that you are WWE. This guy never made any media appearances. Now that we have a credible champion like Roman Reigns, we're going to get more exposure for the WWE with that title. First off, the title is bright red. You're going to see it more often when he does like news appearances and interviews with late night talk show hosts or whatever. To me, Lesnar is by far the worst Universal Champion we've ever had. I'm sorry. I can't stand Lesnar. I thought Goldberg did a better job, unfortunately.
So, Roman Reigns, and people are mad that he sold more merch than John Cena. And my thing is, when's the last time John Cena's been on television?
Yeah, John Cena's been on TV in a while, right?
Right.
He's been doing movies.
Right.
So what's the issue?
Like, people need something to fucking piss him on about.
Oh,
it.
My God.
It's ridiculous. Let the fucking guy live. He's not terrible. But I'm you know what, dude? And here's the thing, and I hope you agree with me. I'm so sick of defending Roman Reigns. I'm not defending Roman Reigns.
I am sick of defending him, too, but
I'm not defending him anymore. You know what? People need to fucking either suspend your disbeliefs. Accept the mediocrity that is WWE programming.
It is mediocre.
Right. Accept the mediocrity and keep it moving. No one's going to change. Listen, Vince McMahon is 73 years old today. Happy birthday.
Yes.
The greatest promoter of all time.
Yes.
The man revolutionized the game.
Yes.
Period. Until he steps down, until he decides to walk away permanently from their fucking hierarchy, nothing is going to change. As much of an influence as Stephanie, Vince, and Shane are, Triple H and Shane are, Vince is still in charge. And he's 73 years old. And he's not going to budge, and he's not going to fucking crumble because John Cena is not selling more fucking you can't see me towels than Roman Reigns is right now. You know what I'm saying? Like this, listen. It's not pro wrestling is sports entertainment, I should say, is not the mainstream gig anymore. Reality shows, fucking, you know, there's other programming that people are more in tune with. Unless you're a fucking fan, it's not as big as it was in the 80s and 90s.
As much as I don't like this man, Vince Russo put it well. Why would I want to watch a fake fighting show, as he said? When I can watch a show where you see cops killing people, where you see, you know, guys getting stabbed. People know that wrestling is not choreographed. That's the wrong. It's booked the way it is because, you know, it's staged fighting. Whatever. Unfortunately, unless you book wrestling as if it's, you know, real, like it's really happening, it's not going to work anymore. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you book it anymore. People, you have to, it's like, again, I said this to you and Scott and Dave. A lot of people. I said this to everybody who's been on the show with me. When you go to a movie or a Broadway show.
Correct.
You suspend your disbeliefs for 2 hours.
Yes.
Okay. When you watch wrestling, you should be doing the same fucking thing.
But you know what the problem is? Here's the problem. The problem with suspending your disbelief is the fact that a lot of these guys are not larger-than-life characters. Is it safe to say that? Is it okay for me to say that? Let's think about this for a second. When you were in the 80s watching wrestling, you had Ric fucking Flair, Dusty Rhodes. Those were characters.
Hulk Hogan,
Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, larger than life characters, where you looked at them and like, holy shit, these guys are amazing. They're great.
So John Cena is not that guy?
Not anymore.
Roman Reigns isn't that guy?
Roman Reigns does. I love Roman Reigns. He's a great, great talent.
He has a great look.
But he's not that superhero character. Like, I thought the guy, and you're going to think I'm crazy, I thought the guy that they were going to push to the moon when they were pushing him in 2012 was Ryback.
Let me ask you this question. Is it because all those guys you mentioned when I was growing up can talk and the other guys can't?
It's not about that.
You sure? Because these guys can perform. These guys are more athletic than you.
And you're absolutely right. You know, Sheamus said it well last year. He said that this crop of talent that they have now are the most athletically gifted talent. More talented than prior superstars. But the problem is that in the end, do you care about the matches or do you care about the moments more?
I want the moments.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, we critique matches for the sake of this, but the longer you watch it, the more you do. It's the same thing with anything. Like, you know me, I can watch a baseball game and fucking dissect it because I pay attention to the players.
And that's the same thing with wrestling.
Wrestling. You dissect
every little thing.
Right, correct.
But let me put it to you like this. I love the Attitude Era, but I cannot name one fantastic 5-star match from the Attitude Era. You want to know why?
Yeah, there's a great one tonight on a throwback.
The ladder match, it wasn't 5 stars.
It wasn't 5-star, but it was close.
But what I'm saying is, you remember the moments more than the matches from the Attitude Era.
Every moment, actually. The Hell in a Cell, the DX, the fucking...
The moments!
Yeah, of course, Mankind and Austin.
It wasn't until 2000 that I started realizing that some of the matches I was watching on in 2000 were fantastic.
So let me ask you something. How come nobody's doing what Paulie did in ECW, where he would hide the negatives and expose the positives? Why can't... Listen, it's not like Paulie had a fucking crew of writers that Raw and SmackDown do now. How come... Answer me this. How come they can't do that now better than they did back in the day with more people?
Because the writers that you have now are not wrestling people. These are guys that are graduating out of college. They've written a couple of episodes on TV and they're like, oh, I could write wrestling.
They're writing it like a sitcom.
Yeah, it's not a sitcom.
Gotcha.
It's like what you said a while ago. It's not a wrestling show anymore. It's a TV show about wrestling.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
And you're right.
I did say that.
But they have to start writing it as if it's a wrestling show.
Right.
Or else it's never going to work. I mean, like, let's think about it. They've made more money now than they've done in the Attitude Era and in the Ruthless Aggression Era or even in the 80s.
Yeah.
If you look at their numbers, their stock is, like, their share, every share is worth $80 a share. 3 or 4 years ago, their shares were worth $17 a share.
And that's because they're spreading out globally, a lot more globally now.
Right.
They're going to Australia. They're going to Japan. They're going all over the fucking place.
Right.
God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, like, simplifying the storylines and making it so that everyone can enjoy it. Here's my thing. How come I can enjoy an NXT show, but I can't enjoy the whole Raw and SmackDown? Because it's wrestling people doing the booking. You have Triple H. You got Matt Bloom, who used to be Albert A-Train. Sarah Death Ray is training the women.
Norman Smiley.
Shawn Michaels.
Steve Corino. Adam Pearce.
Who are these people? Wrestling people.
Yeah.
Guys that have been successful in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Pearce. Carino, former world champions.
Yeah.
Matt Bloom, former Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah Del Rey, Shimmer's champion. Shimmer Women's champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of success. Why do you think NXT is so much better?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are wrestling a WWE-style match, but they're doing it in a way that everyone can enjoy it. You know? And yeah. that's just my opinion.
Okay, that's what I wanted. I wanted your opinion.
And some people may agree with me. Some people may not agree with me.
Well, that's what makes the world go round.
And it's like what you said and I say. Opinions are like assholes.
Everybody has them.
And they stink sometimes.
Yep,
there true. You go.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That's my rant.
Well, you know, again, there's a huge generation gap between you and I.
Yeah, 10 years.
Right? But we do see a lot of the same thing. You know, like we do see a lot of the same stuff because you have an eye for certain things. But I feel like that your generation is now getting the old man bitterness that I'm getting. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Right? Because it's like, you know, you guys got... you when you guys were in your prime, in your early teens, preteens, you were getting stunners and middle fingers and crotch chops and fucking crazy fucking spots off the cage. Now you're getting fucking indie darlings doing spot monkey shit, kicking out of every fucking hold imaginable, and you're just looking for a moment. It's like NXT, like, you know, guy. How many times have we sat there and watched something, whether it's live or on TV, and I look over to you and I lean over and go, he should be dead. Remember when we were in Philly? Remember when we were in Philly when Almas fought Gargano?
Yeah!
How many times did I say, oh, he should be dead.
He should be dead.
He should be dead.
What about that spot where Ricochet does a moonsault from the second rope and then fucking Adam Cole gets him with the super kick?
He should be dead.
I was like, he should have been done.
Meanwhile, I'm watching NWA from Jim Crockett Promotions from 1988, and Tully Blanchard wins his match with a slingshot suplex.
Which, by the way, by that time, that was a really innovative move.
I just sound like a broken record. If these guys would tell, like, to see the whole thing with The Miz and Daniel Bryan, we didn't talk about that either, but that told a really good story. There's a couple of matches at SummerSlam that told good stories. Joe and AJ, now Finn Balor beating Corbin. Not the match itself, but now Corbin. But now Finn Balor is back in the fucking title hunt, which I've been asking for a year. Kevin Owens gets fucking robbed again. He's gonna be the thorn in Roman Reigns' side. Even with the Shield now reforming and stuff like that, there's stories now. Someone backstage is doing something. It has an effect on some of these writers now because there's some stories going on.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know.
Paul Heyman.
I hope so, man. I really hope it is. I just, listen.
Who, well, by the way, is a wrestling person.
Again, but Paulie does what guys didn't want to do in the 90s. He exposed the fucking positives and hit all the negatives. He made Sandman the world fucking champion.
By the way, which I've never been a Sandman fan, but I loved his entrance. He was the ultimate warrior of ECW.
Right, but like, I don't think he knows four wrestling moves. You know what I'm saying?
He did the Heineken Rana.
He
the Rolling Rock.
And he does a leg drop, I think.
Yeah, and the leg drop. Now, and a suplex, maybe.
Maybe a suplex.
And a very shitty DDT.
Right, but he has under 10 moves, and you're the world champion of the company. But that's what Paulie did.
But he was a character.
Again.
A character.
Yes. Yes. And you don't have to go overboard. Like, you don't have to have... Like, listen. That's why I like the Briscoes so much.
They're characters.
And they fucking... They cut promos on a chicken farm. And they skeet shoot. And they spit tobacco. And they really kick people's asses.
Who do the Briscoes remind you of?
The Road Warriors.
A mix of the Road Warriors... Stan Hansen.
And the Midnight Express.
Midnight,
the wrestling skills, not because Bobby and Stan.
Their characters are so... like they're characters, dude.
You know what's funny? Because when you go back to like the mid-90s, and you go to like, you know, ECW and Jim Cornette doing the Smoky Mountain thing, right? It was like... it was a throwback-ish kind of feel, right?
Correct.
And then when Vince got Cornette to come over... and Cornette started bringing his guys over, some of it didn't resonate. Meanwhile, you had fucking amazing wrestlers. You had Randy Rose. You had fucking Dr. Tom Pritchard. You had, you know, Chris Candido. And really good fucking wrestlers.
Balls Mahoney
as Santa Claus. I mean, really? But in hindsight, there's room. There's always room for improvement, obviously. Anything, of course. In sports entertainment, there's always room for improvement. Like, some of the stuff I'm watching now on Crockett was fucking terrible. I played a clip of The New Breed today. We opened the show with that. Rest in peace, the Chris Champion, who died. He was Yoshi Kwan in WCW, WWE. He was also part of The New Breed. They were like this futuristic tag team in the mid-80s. Didn't last very long, but they should have, because they weren't bad. It was him and Sean Royal. He had a stroke. He passed away. But I played a Transformers fucking promo because I've been watching Transformers. I listened to the Transformers documentary. Watched it on Netflix. How the Toys Are Made, season 2.
Oh, that's already out?
Yo.
Oh, I got to check that out. I love that
and
show.
And there's a Marvel comic podcast I listen to. And they broke down the first 13 issues of their comic from 83, 84. Because there's a connection there. Because the guy from Marvel basically renamed all the robots for the toys.
Okay.
Hasbro went to Marvel and be like, yeah, listen, you have 3 days to fucking give me names and profiles for these toys. And you have to listen to it. It's really fun. So when they cut this promo about Jimmy Valiant and Lasertron, who's one of the Guerreros.
Yeah.
Lasertron, we know you. We went to fucking Cybertron. We talked to Ultra Magnus. And I was like, this is fucking amazing. But ahead of their time, rest in peace. But they were characters. The Sheep Herders at the time, the Russians, the Road Warriors, Dusty, Magnum, Flair, the Horsemen.
Characters.
The Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, the Powers of Pain,
Road Warriors. Let's even go to the late 90s. You had Hunter Hearst Helmsley, character. Shawn Michaels, character.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, character.
The Rock.
Val Venus, porn star, character.
I still love his finishing move.
The Money Shot. The Money Shot.
I'll tell you a story about that after the break.
But there was characters.
100%.
What characters do we have now? Honestly.
No, I mean, we have Roman Reigns. We have characters, but they're not, like you said, they're not larger than life. Nothing comes... We have guys, like Dean Ambrose is a character, you know? But he's like my next... He reminds me of like my next-door neighbor with a better physique. My old next-door neighbor. The crazy fucking guy who didn't give a shit.
Okay.
You know? Seth Rollins is a character.
Not really.
He's a good wrestler. He's not a great character. Kevin Owens is a character.
His character is pretty much a prized fighter. He's a good... I don't think he's a character. I think he's a great heel.
I don't know. It's debatable.
It is. I can't think of a person who's a great character. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no characters. Like... larger than life characters on this show, but again, I think if you let these guys speak for themselves instead of just relying on writers to do their promos, I think the show would be a much better show. Just saying.
Well, we'll see what happens.
We shall see. I actually did see Monday Night Raw. It wasn't too bad.
I watched the first couple of segments.
I was kind of very surprised that you instilled Braun Strowman in babyface. One of your top baby faces, and you had him taken out by the Shield, three top baby faces, which was kind of weird for the crowd, but they popped for it. Because, I mean, like, it's kind of intriguing to me, because now you're like, are the Shield the baby faces or are the Shield heels?
Yeah, and is the crowd popping because they reformed, or is the crowd popping because it's just something different?
Correct.
Because everybody's like, oh, change, clap, 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 clap. You know what I'm saying? Is it? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How do you read the crowd who just wants to steal the show anyway?
But you also got to keep in mind, this was Brooklyn. I want to see what happens when they go to the next town next Monday. I want to see how this crowd reacts to this Shield reformation again.
Yeah, you sound like Kevin Castle, but it's the truth. It's, you know.
I might be listening to a lot of Don Tony and Kevin Castle, but I agree with some of the shit that Kevin says. Yeah. He's a smart man. He's been watching it just as much as you have.
Longer than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knows what the fuck he's talking about. You know what the fuck you're talking about.
Sometimes I do. You're giving me way too much credit, but I appreciate it.
Well, you are older than me, so I figure you know more than what I'm talking about.
Well, I like to think I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Any other news and notes?
Barrier from the Barrier just said, breaking news, Neville is free from the WWE. I didn't even know he was still contracted on the WWE.
Yeah. I spoke to Matt Bowman from the Shining Wizards the other night. Impact's doing a pay-per-view in October here in New York.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking about going. It's in October.
Impact's not a bad show anymore.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're interested, I think it's like on a Saturday or a Sunday, so if you're interested.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, but I think we're going to be doing that. I think that's, I don't know, man.
There was nothing really big news-wise this week, so.
Title match announced for Hell in a Cell, though, right?
Which was Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles for the WWE title. And if I'm not mistaken, Roman Reigns versus Lesnar for the Universal title.
No, Lesnar's not getting a rematch, right?
Paul Heyman requested the rematch with Lesnar and Roman Reigns at Hell in a Cell. I saw part of it on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, no, because I saw Kurt Angle telling Paulie that he's not going to get a title shot for a very long time.
So, and then Heyman was like, yeah, not now, he said.
Oh, Hell in a Cell.
But I wanted a Hell in a Cell.
Gotcha.
Because Paulie's like, you know, I think his character, this is what I'm thinking, Paulie's like, you know, Lesnar beat him in a cage, he could do it again, you know, so, but this time it's Hell in a Cell.
Right.
Roman Reigns is going to win that, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, NXT was NXT, you know.
NXT was a recap of last TakeOver. But the main event was fantastic.
Yeah.
Pete Dunne versus Jack Gibson. Dude.
Yeah.
What a fucking great match. I love Pete Dunne.
Yeah, me too.
You guys keep saying it. Future WWE champion. He might be the first English wrestler to win the WWE championship.
Yeah.
Never. Regal came close. Yeah. But if it wasn't for his issues, he would have been WWE champion.
Yeah. I just watched an interesting story time with Regal.
How was that show?
It's funny as hell.
I got you.
Apparently, there's a story where him and Tajiri were great on camera, but didn't like each other in real life.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, yeah, they did.
You would never think that.
Yeah, they didn't get along at all. And Tajiri was afraid of spam.
Why?
I don't know, but so now, of course, Regal would rib him every chance. He would put empty fucking spam cans in his bag, in his locker. He would keep spam cans in his house when he'd go home on break. His wife would show him a fucking bill, like, what is all these spam cans? Like, oh, it's for the Jerry. I used to bust his balls. So, there's a segment of where Jake is living with DDP, and, like, he asked Jake got lost his wife, whatever. So, like, so Dallas opened up his house to him, and he was still married to Kimberly. So Kimberly said he could stay, but I don't want no snakes in the house. I have all these pets, whatever. So, of course, Jake doesn't listen and brings a fucking cobra in the house. And the cobra gets loose.
Oh, no.
Not only does the cobra get loose, but Jake goes out for the weekend and leaves the fucking cobra in the bathroom, loose in the bathroom. So,
oh, no.
So they put you know, pillows under the door. They put, you know, so DDP had to get a fucking animal control thing. It was hysterical. Wow. You got to watch Storytime. It's fucking dope.
I'll check it out.
It's so dope. It's so dope. All right, yeah. So that's pretty much it, man. There's nothing really other than the news and notes going on.
Not right now, no.
No. Trying to think. I didn't have anything else to talk about. We did All In. We did SummerSlam. We did NXT. And we just talked about, you know, anything going on in the chat room over there? The small screen?
Mario says that Brock isn't scheduled for the rest of the year. Okay, so I might be wrong. And then Shaylin said, did you guys see the couple that was cosplaying as Don Tony and Kevin Castle?
Of course I did.
That was fantastic. Very cool.
Choppy's not going all in now. We were going to go as Wrestling Soup.
Yeah, we were. Who's going to wear the wig?
Me.
You were going to wear
the wig. Yeah, I was going to be Mish.
Okay.
You'd be Joey Numbers. Why not?
Okay.
But now you're not going, so it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
All right. Let's reconvene.
I need to quench my...
Let me get you a beverage.
Yes.
And we have a kick-ass throwback for you tonight.
It's all right. It's actually really good. It's good.
I actually had fun watching this.
Did you really?
Yeah, me and Mikey watched it last night.
What did he think about it?
Oh, as soon as he saw Kai and Tai, he kept yelling, Choppy, Choppy, Choppy! So...
Oh, goddamn, the oddities are a bunch of fucking mooks.
Oh, that's that what I said last night? I'm like, look at these fucking mooks.
Fucking John Tent, the Earthquake, as Golga.
With the fucking Cartman shirt.
Oh, God.
I can't believe how fucking hot the crowd was, man. Well, I can't believe it's the Garden.
It's New York, of course.
Hell yeah. All right, so listen, man. We'll reconvene, take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Ooh, yeah. We'll Turnbuckle Throwbacks live, rantingradio.com. It's Phil, it's Choppy, it's live.
Ooh, yeah.
Right back. Mr. What's-His-Face? That guy. You know. Lord Alfred Hayes, take us out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonderdome, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Leave it.
favorite songs ever.
AC/DC's the shit.
Hell yeah. I finally got to see them live.
There's a video out, I don't know if a DVD out, where Foo Fighters and AC/DC play a concert together.
Oh yeah?
They're fantastic.
I have the vault. It's called The Vault. It's all their music videos up until like the early 2000s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I finally got to see them in 2008. I have never seen them before.
Really?
Yeah, and I got a cool story too. They're playing the Garden, obviously. This is when one of the next to last albums came out. And one of my buddies was working as a medic, and he said Angus was so dehydrated that he needed an IV after the show. Apparently, Angus always needs an IV. That's how fucking dehydrated he gets. That's how much he puts into the show. Those guys were amazing. They put on a great show, man.
Good.
So, anyway, I'm so happy when I forgot that they did that. This was the fucking the song.
I was actually coming back. This is a memory of SummerSlam for me. I was coming back from Portugal that summer.
Uh huh.
And guess who I see? You know, guess what I see? I see the WWE bus with the SummerSlam with Austin and Undertaker. And I was like, yo, they're here! They're here in the
U.S. Nice.
I was so excited, bro. I was like, Ma, I know you hate wrestling, but I got to order SummerSlam. She's like, don't worry about it. I got the black box. Don't worry about it.
Oh, she had the hot. Yeah. Shout out to Mama Rose.
Yeah. So guess what? I got to see SummerSlam and it's all its greatness.
Yeah.
Not on the WWE Network, though. Because
it wasn't bad on the network. They didn't cut anything.
Oh, yes, they did.
They did, right?
They cut the fucking ICP entrance.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Those motherfuckers that's cut right. The ICP entrance.
Hold on. Let's get into it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network. And Rant EM Radio.
All right.
I forgot the date, but it was 1998.
It was August 30th.
There it is.
Madison Square Garden.
MSG.
Attendance was 21,588.
That's a full fucking house.
That's
right,
a very
there.
Full house. That's a Ranger game playoff.
Oh yeah,
full house. Knick playoffs. Mikey said to me, he looked over. He's like, "You weren't there for this?"
Exactly.
And I said, "No." He's like, "Well, why?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you why." I said, "At the time, I said Phil was very busy working. At that point, I was." In and out of living at home, and I was working two jobs. I was bouncing for Kevin, and I was doing the whole tuxedo thing.
I was going to ask you about that. How much would you make good money as a bouncer?
I didn't do it very often, but yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's lucrative if you can get a decent gig. If you can get a steady gig, like his doorman is still working for him.
Oh, wow.
Even though John Doorman has his own fucking... That's his persona, John the Doorman. I mean, John... Works in a hot baseball card comic book shop in Queens, but his side gig is doing this for the last 25 years.
Wow.
So, if you can get somewhere, God bless, you know, have at it. So I said, yeah, man, I didn't go. I went the year before because all the guys went, but I said, I tell you what I did do, though. I watched it. I made a deal. SummerSlam for me is very, very important. It's near and dear to me because I was at the first one. So I hold it like almost in the highest regard as the other three, the big four, you know, because I was at the first one. I invested the Garden. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's special. So when it comes to the Garden, I should have went, but I didn't go because I, too, got a hot box. So I watched it with a bunch of my friends, yeah. And, you know, we ordered fucking tons of food, and, you know, like what we do now.
Yeah, exactly.
But... it was fun, and they WWE Network didn't keep Highway to Hell, obviously.
They did not.
They did not do the audio. I thought they played everything else, but I don't know. I missed. I was watching it like it was like background noise because I remember the card vividly. You know.
Yeah, so did I.
But after like there was a build up, Triple H and The Rock. This was the 11th SummerSlam, by the way.
Yes.
So no, I think it was the 10th. Because
no, it's the 10th. It's 10 years.
10 years. 88, yeah. Right.
First match of the night.
The European Championship.
With chest protector and all, D'Lo Brown. Hailing from Helsinki, I believe.
Helsinki, Finland.
Finland. And then Jerry Lawler, he was like, yeah, JR was like, yeah, last week he was in Lisbon, Portugal. That's great.
He sure did say that.
And then out comes the number one challenger for the European title.
Hello, ladies.
He came, he saw, and he came again. I fucking love Alvinas at this time.
Hello, ladies.
So great, that character. Again, character.
100%. Dude, you're not going to get an argument from me, man. I'm the fucking character king.
The big Valbowski.
It's sort of like the Rubik's Cube. The longer you play with him, the harder it gets. My favorite one.
My favorite is when I think it was 99, he says, you know, the big Valbowski is like, and I'm sounding like the Macho Man, it's kind of like, you know, cement. Watch him get a little wet and he gets a little hard and or some shit like that. It was so funny, dude. He's so great.
Did I tell you the past of the story?
No.
Okay, so my parents did some, my mom and her other husband did some charity work for the local Salvation Army where I lived in Ridgewood. And there was a guy, because the Salvation Army, their churches, their pastors, they go by military rank. So they had this guy named Craig, and he called him Lieutenant. So Lieutenant would come over and hang out with us. He was from North Carolina or something like that. He was from the sticks. So he comes here, he's doing mission work, and he winds up living here, and my mom's like feeding him and gets home cooked meals, hanging out or whatever. He likes wrestling. So we're hanging out. So one night he comes over, we're watching wrestling. Val Venus is wrestling. And Jim Ross, you know, Val Venus' finisher is the money shot, right?
Yeah.
So Jim Ross, he goes at the top rope. So it's me, my stepfather, and him watching the pay-per-view. And he goes, Val Venus going up there for the money shot. And me and my stepfather just hysterically laugh. Like, tears.
Because he doesn't know.
He doesn't know what a money shot is. He's like, why are you guys laughing? It's a body. It's a finishing move. And I'm like, you have no idea. So now, no one wants to tell him what it is. Of course. I fucking tell him.
Of course you do. You asshole. You say I'm the asshole.
So I finally break down. He's like, why are you guys laughing for? I said, I'll tell you why. And I tell him, you know, what it is. And he just looks at me, and I'm laughing even more. Like, I'm just, like, a tears. Like, I can't. It's like you and I, like, last year at Mikey's gig. Oh, man. It was so funny. And he was just looked at me like, Jesus! So, anyway. All right, let's get into this match real quick.
I saw this a couple years ago. I saw it again. I actually like this match a lot. It was actually a really good match. There was some like dull moments, but then it always picked up little by little.
It was a 15 and a half minute match.
I enjoyed it. It was like a roller coaster of emotions for me because they would pick it up and then they kind of stop it. Pick it up and then it was really good. D'Lo was getting cheered by the crowd, by the way.
Yeah, so at one point, Val gets the chest protector off.
Yes, he does.
And puts it on and goes up to the top rope.
And then the ref is stopping him.
Yeah.
And he tugs on his leg or his ankle.
His ankle. It
gets crotched on the top.
The ref continues to get Val. To get the chest protector off. Val tosses it. D'Lo gets DQ'd. Lame ending. The match moved nicely, like you said.
I like the sky-high powerbomb where Val goes on top rope. D'Lo catches him. Powerbomb right there. It was so good.
How good was D'Lo Brown, man?
D'Lo Brown is probably one of the most underrated talents they've had in that company.
Absolutely.
And the only reason he didn't get pushed to the moon was because of the accident with draws.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. And so Val Venus gives the official money shot for his troubles.
To the referee.
To
Mr. Jimmy Corderas.
Poor Jimmy Corderas. He had a fucking cool fucking podcast for a minute, man.
Why did he stop?
I have no idea. Otter O'Cal, remember him?
Yeah.
It was him and I used to love that show.
It was good.
Yeah, Jimmy Corderas has some good stories, man. Alright. Next match, the Oddities with ICP and Luna Vachon taking on Kai and Tai.
I didn't realize
with Yamaguchi-san.
Yamaguchi-san. Choppy, choppy, your pee-pee. So,
Yeah, so they cut the ICP.
Yeah, they cut out the entrance. That's what got really the crowd hyped up, because they love the Oddities, by the way.
Well, they love the ICP. The ICP, I'm not a juggalo. Are you a juggalo? No. I know, like, there's a lot of people into it. I don't, like, I was talking to Kevin Gill about this last year on Twitter, because he's like a main juggalo, right? He does all the pay-per-views and shit like that. He does ring announcing and he does commentary for them and stuff, and he does a radio show with them. And I was like, I said, KG, I respect the hustle, man. I respect that DIY. I just never got into them, you know. I don't dislike them. I just never got into them, you know. Some of this stuff is good, but like I don't see myself buying their records or anything like that. But
I did like their one term that they came up with, PhD.
PhD.
Your player hater's degree. Right.
They do a cover of Let's Go All the Way.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. I like that. And I liked there's a couple of songs they did, like, they were okay.
They were not, I was never a fan of these guys, but I liked them when they were there with the Oddities because they fit.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, but it was just a fun. It was a fun match. It was like, yeah. It was just comic relief, basically.
Fucking Giant Silva, who's from Brazil, fucking mook.
Yeah,
he's like Jerry Lawler. He's an orthodontist dream because his teeth are all fucked up.
Yamaguchi-san, always funny.
Yamaguchi-san with the fucking water, yeah, with the water to the face from his shoes.
With the shoe, Taka, fucking what's his face?
Oh,
Funaki,
and Goto.
And Goto. Goto, yeah. Just fun.
A very plump Goto.
Yeah, so they win the match. Yeah, Luna slams Yamaguchi, the big man squash Kai and Tai.
Yeah, it was a fun little match.
Yeah. This got serious. This match got serious. This is hair. Anytime you get hair versus hair, it's serious.
It was okay.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the story itself. The
story itself was great because, you know, fucking Howard Finkel got his head shaved by Jeff Jarrett and Southern Justice.
A.K.A. the Godwins.
The Godwins, yeah.
But, you know, when there's certain gimmick matches in pro wrestling that stand out to me. Obviously, the cage match, the bunkhouse, the fucking the lumberjack, and hair versus hair. Hair versus hair was a big, and mask versus mask. The hair versus hair thing was basically
a big thing in Memphis, though.
Big everywhere if you were leaving the territory.
Okay.
A lot of guys who lost the hair versus hair matches would wind up getting bumped from the territory. Like, that was like their last run.
Yeah.
Just because you have your fucking head shaved and you would come back. You're not outlaw Ron Bass, you know? So anyway, X-Pac, way, way over.
Super over.
Well, DX, way over.
Super over in New York.
26 years old.
Very young.
Fucking young, hung, and full of cum, that guy was. He was on fire. Jeff Jarrett on fire. I like that Don't Piss Me Off guitar.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah, Southern Justice, great. So like Choppy said, this is all stemming from Fink's head being shaved.
And he comes out with X-Pac.
X-Pac.
And he does a fireworks thing with X-Pac, and he kind of looks like a fucking mook retard trying to do the crotch chop while the fireworks go off.
The crowd was hot. The match was decent.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a Jeff Jarrett guy.
I'm not a Jeff Jarrett guy either, but I like
X-Pac.
I do like X-Pac. The pace was quick. Halfway through, X-Pac gets the offense going. He gets two on a sit-out, sweet fucking sit-out powerbomb.
I like that one. That was
sit-out powerbomb is dope.
I think it was better than D'Lo's.
Well, that night it was, anyway. But it was strange to see Jarrett try a Rana, which was weird, because that's not Jarrett's. He's ground and pound. Jeff Correct. Jarrett doesn't take to the fucking, you know. Fink distracts Jarrett, takes the right hand for it. X-Factor connects in the cup, but the cupboard isn't made. He's only gets two. One half of Southern Justice misses the guitar shot. X-Pac takes it, uses it on Jeff for the win. So,
and then you got the Headbangers coming out. Holding down Jeff.
New Age Outlaws come out.
New Age Outlaws come out. They're holding him down. And then I believe it was Finkel who actually started shaving Jeff's head because he had done it to him. So, yeah.
Commissioner Slaughter oversees the whole thing. Method Man's in the crowd.
Yes.
Staten Island's
own. You know who else was there? Big Pun, baby.
Big Pun.
Yeah.
Big wrestling fans. I know Method Man's a huge wrestling
fan. Big Pun mentions DiBiase
in his rap.
In his rap.
Well, Look at Method Man. They call me Big John Studd. My middle name's Mud. Yeah, from
this guy. I remember.
Yeah. The Rock gets interviewed about attacking Triple H during Monday Night Heat.
So over as a, he was ready for that babyface turn.
What did he tell Michael Cole? Go frost your hair.
Rock was money on the mic.
My wife didn't know what the people's strudel was. I had to show it today.
No,
not my strudel. Oh. I'll show it later, but. I had to show The Rock's promo on Lillian. Lillian, are you looking at the people's strudel?
She's never seen that?
Whoa, no.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. He gets interviewed about attacking Triple H on Sunday Night Heat. The Rock had a smart plan because hurting Triple H's leg obviously means he can't climb the ladder for that big match.
Wow.
So. All right. The next match was a mixed tag.
Edge and
Sable. The undefeated Edge.
Yes, Edge and the undefeated Edge with Sable against Mark Mero and
Miss Jackie.
And Miss Jackie, mm-hmm. who by far, I'm going to tell you something. Miss Jackie, she'd get it in 98. She was really hot at this time.
Yeah. I was never a big Mark Mero guy at all.
Even when he was Johnny B. Bad?
Nope.
I agree. He was okay. He was passable.
Yeah.
He was good on the mic, though.
I forgot that this was the start of Edge. Edge. I totally forgot he was undefeated and all that.
Edge was money.
Oh, yeah.
You could see that he was going to be a big-time player.
What's going on in chat room? Anything? Nothing?
No, just saying. Shailen just said SummerSlam 98 was fun to watch. That was it.
Okay.
Nothing big.
Okay. This was okay. It was decent enough for what it was. Yeah. Right?
Well, Sable wasn't really that good of a worker anyways, but she was phenomenal with Edge.
Yeah. Yeah, and they played it off really good, you know, distractions and...
What about that wheelbarrow into the splash that she does?
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
The top rope Rana on Mero.
Sable Rana.
Yeah. Jackie runs in, breaks things up, and gets dropped onto Mero's crotch.
Yeah.
He takes a downward spiral, and then Edge slams Sable on top of him to get the win. Like I said, decent wasn't fucking terrible.
Yeah, well, let's keep in mind that Jackie was much better worker than fucking Sable, so... Well,
Jackie was a worker.
Exactly.
Sable was a valet. Who
and, a Playboy, and a Playboy model.
Alright, then we switch back to Mankind being interviewed without Kane. Kane's missing to the World Tag Team Champions. They have a title defense against the Outlaws.
Mankind was so funny in the backstage interviews.
He keeps saying, I'm going to get my ass kicked. He tells Michael Cole, come out with me because... The fans just want to see that. So Vince comes out
and
says, you know, you hitchhiked to come to the Garden to see Jimmy Snuka. You know, you worked your whole life, game like the whole pep talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Vince convinces him to make history by defending the World Tag Team Championship on his own.
And then he says, hey, Vince, I got 8 words for you.
How much wood? Woodchuck, could chuck wood. I got 13 words for you.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep.
Oh, man. What about when he was, when he found out the hearse was destroyed?
And
he was like, looks like Jared the Briscoe Brothers Body Shop is going to get some money tonight. Oh, dude, he was so funny.
Yeah, there was a promo in ECW that he, not the Kane Dewey one, around that time. He mentions like one of his uncles who gets eaten by a shark. We know all what happened, Uncle Charlie. All right, my little gypsy. Let's keep this going.
Let's do it.
I love the fact they call you gypsy.
That's right. Oh, I got to show you something real quick. It was like a funny ad. It's like a meme.
It's a meme? Oh, it was going to bring me gypsy tears.
Thanks, fucking jerk.
Jerk off.
Here it is.
Choppy showing me a meme. Window gypsies invade New York and it's Choppy. Holy shit. Why are you not posting it on social media?
I gotta post that on Facebook.
You gotta post that in a group page.
Yes, I do.
Alright, Gypsy King. Lions Den match.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock in the theater next door at the Fell Forum. You'll fell for him against Owen Hart. The Lion Den match with Dan Severn in the corner of
Owen Hart.
Of Owen Hart. Weird.
I don't like this match.
Yeah, it was weird.
I think the second Lion Den match, which was the following year with Steve Blackman, was much better.
I love Steve Blackman. I love him. I don't know why. I watched that today, too.
You like the Fidel Sassoon, I know.
Steve Blackman's a Fidel Sassoon?
Well, he's black, right?
No.
Oh, he's a black man. I'm sorry.
You fuck is wrong with you?
He's a blood.
Chop, he's a pain in the ass.
Spearjacker.
Fuck it.
But did Steve Blackman wrestle this pay-per-view?
No.
He did not.
He wrestled the next year.
Okay. This match was okay. Was Shamrock going to lose this? No.
No.
Of course not. Because Owen Hart beat him the month before in the dungeon.
Yeah, I love how Dan Severn trains Owen Hart, but walks off and leaves him there.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it.
I'm not throwing a towel in.
Yeah, you're terrible.
He's like, fuck it.
He gets him in the ankle lock and he's like, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Fuck it.
By the way, Dan Severn is legit scary.
Yeah, he's a scary dude.
Dude, he will fuck your ass up.
I have an uncle who looks just like him.
That mustache and everything?
Well, my uncle no longer has the mustache. I'm going to show you a picture of my Uncle Mario. Looks just like Dan Severn.
Same body type and everything?
He had the same body type. He's a little older now. But
barrel-chested?
Like, yeah, my uncle was no. Dude. Big French-Canadian from Massachusetts. Fucking Diesel.
Watch the shoot interview with Dan Severn on Hannibal TV.
Yeah.
Bro, they wanted him to, like, join the Ministry of Darkness.
Oh, Jesus.
And he said, no. They're like, Dan, if you do this, it's going to be great. He was like, no, I'm not doing it. He's like, well, Dan, I guess we're going to have to make you lose a couple times on TV. And he was just like, how about I take one of your superstars and make them legit lose on TV and see how well that's good for money, for business. I was like, yeah.
Former NWA champion.
One of the longest reigning champions.
Dan the Beast Severn.
Oof, he's a scary dude.
He's a scary dude.
If I'm not mistaken, he held the NWA World title and the UFC Super Fight title at the same time.
Oh, that Super Fight title. I forgot about that.
Hello.
Super Fight title.
It's the Unsilent Majority.
She's in the house.
Yo, yo.
Yeah, but that whole crossover thing really didn't happen for him there. I mean, he cut his teeth. He went to the NWA, obviously, after that and won the world title.
Correct.
But he should have been more than he was here. But I loved how he fucking trains Owen Hart for a month and then
just like
says, fuck, just walks off.
He's like, fuck it.
During the middle of the match, I just fuck it. You know, he just walk away. Done.
That I'm fucking... I'm sorry?
So I'm going to bed.
Okay. That dragon sleeper that he did?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That, and then he did the body scissors. That's what Gulak does now. He does the Gulak does the Gulak.
The Gulak.
That's a kick-ass move. I like that submission hold. Who did it better? Him? Or Ultimo Dragon?
Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, I agree.
Because Ultimo Dragon would lean into it and go on one knee.
Yep. You know who also did that move? At one point was The Undertaker.
Yeah, but...
He know what he called it? Taking care of business.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, but the Ultimo Dragon would lean into it and fucking like put the one... He would like lean
and pull
the guy's neck back almost. Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, and then he would fucking go on one knee.
I love using that move in Revenge. Oh, when I was... I love the Ultimo Dragon. And,
yeah, that and Aki-Man. Aki-Man did it too, I think.
Fuck Aki-Man.
No.
Fuck him.
No. Love Aki-Man.
Aki-Man.
Yeah.
More like cocky, man.
That's what you're a dick. Pick on my dude.
What?
Pick on my dude.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Caca, man.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Sorry.
Then fuck his ass. Make him humble.
WWF Tag Team Championship. False count anywhere.
God, what a fucking murder the scene this was.
This is like the 5.5 minutes of murder. The New Age Outlaws destroy Mankind.
They just pummel him. They're like, whack, whack, whack. That pile driver on the steel chair. Even Jim Ross was like, come on, guys, stop. Even, I guess.
I love how Mankind went from being this maniacal fucking serial killer type fucking Hannibal Lecter.
To like a lovable
character. To the lovable fucking
buffoon.
Everybody feels sorry for him and shit. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I love him,
though. But that's how they did it. That's Mick Foley. That's the magic of Mick Foley. His character. 100% character. Yeah, they beat the snot out of him.
Can I tell you my story about Mr. Ass?
I love Billy Gunn.
So do I. So, I'm watching Monday Night Raw one night, and the New Age Outlaws come out. My mom happens to walk by, and mind you, she hadn't seen wrestling in a while. She still thought it was, like, cartoony and shit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So she walks in, and she's like, who are these guys? I was like, these are the New Age Outlaws. So, you know... Road Dogg's doing his old shtick, and then all of a sudden, She's like, who is this blonde dude? I was like, that's Mr. Ass. She's like, wait, what's his name? I was like, Mr. Ass.
Mr. Ass.
She starts to laugh. His name is Mr. Ass? Why? I was like, because he has a lovable ass.
Did you say that? Because he has a lovable ass? He has a lovable ass. How old were you when you told her that?
14.
He had a lovable ass. You fucking lunatic.
You know what's my favorite part about...
Ass man!
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm an ass man!
Mind you, his trunks were hysterical. He put the lips on his crotch, and then he would go to the camera and put it down right there.
His run is I said this on a show before. Very, when he won King of the Ring.
Very disappointing.
I loved him. I wanted him to be more.
I thought he was going to be a major, major player.
Thought because so too.
The company was pushing him to the moon.
You see what happens after they pin Mick Foley in a match? They pin Mankind. He gets. No, you do. Yeah, he gets in his face.
Yeah.
I love it. So then they throw him in a dumpster.
Now we're going to take you out like the trash that you are.
And who was in the dumpster?
Kane.
And
he goes like this. He made it look like a sword. And then JR's like, no, by God, he killed him, by God.
Yeah, so he dies.
Yeah, he dies.
He kills Mankind. And that sets up another feud. And they Kane rolls the dumpster to the back, and that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Bye-bye, Mankind.
The match of the night.
I thoroughly hated this whole pay-per-view until this match came on.
The best is I'm watching this, and my wife get ready to go out. She comes out. She goes, my wife never talks wrestling with me. She's like, man, he was over.
Who?
Like, The Rock.
Of course. Like, and he was a bad guy at this point.
Fucking people's champ. The Brahma Bull, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment today.
Dude, the moment that he hit that people's elbow in that New York crowd, they lost their
26 minutes this match went.
It was great.
Triple H gets the live performance of the DX team.
Correct.
From his people. That was pretty cool. And then they break the fucking setup like the Who. And here we go. To the races. I'm telling you, and I'm probably gonna get some shit for this on social media after people listen to this.
Why?
I feel like this was Triple H's best feud. I know he's had stuff with Austin and Benoit and Flair and like all these other guys, but I feel like The Rock and Triple H had the best chemistry together.
And you want to know something? I agree. I'll tell you why I agree with you. From 1996 to like 2001, these guys fought all the fucking time.
A lot.
Their first encounter was for the Intercontinental title with Rocky, beat him for the belt.
Yeah.
In 1997. And these guys kept going on from 97 till fucking 2001, where they were like, you know what, guys? No more Rock versus Triple H. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2000, they feuded over the Intercontinental title. By 99-2000, they were fighting over the world title.
Yeah.
It was almost like Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat kind of feud.
Chemistry
was there. Their ladder match was fantastic. I'm thinking, like, when I found out it was going to be a ladder match between Rock and Triple H, I was like, what kind of match are these guys going to have? They don't fly around in the ring. And then when I saw the fight, the rest of the match, I was like, holy shit, they're destroying the fuck out of each other. That baseball slide from the ladder, from Triple H to the ladder, to Rock's face.
And busting him open.
Oh, that was fantastic. The crowd went was like, whoa!
That's actually where I was going to pick it up.
See?
So, all right. Sorry. So, don't be sorry. This is how we do it, man. This is how we do it. And then after that, Rock hits the people's elbow with Triple H on the ladder.
Yep.
The crowd's chanting Rocky. Like you said, the New York crowd was super hot.
Now, the moment that it was like, boom, Triple H jumps off the ladder. Rock catches him. Rock fucking bottom right there. Crowd was lit. And then JR is even rooting for the Rock in this time. He's like, Rock bottom!
He pulls away from the title, hits and nails the pedigree.
Yep. Right. And then when Triple H nailed the pedigree, the crowd lost their mind, dude.
Rock seems to be getting the upper hand with the belt
yes,
on
yes.
the ladder, but here comes China.
Boom.
Low blow on the Cunhans.
Oh, I forgot about Mark Henry was in this match, too. He was part of this match.
He was in the corner of the...
Yeah, he was in the corner of the Rock. This
before Sexual Chocolate.
Correct.
So China low blows him. Triple H pulls title down and win. Excellent match for a ladder match.
It was a great match. And I you want to know something? I think I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, for what I'm about to say. I think it's better than Shawn versus Razor.
This match, 94 you talked about? WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
And I'll tell you why. Everyone, it's technically not the first ladder match in WWF history at this time. It's actually, the first ladder match was Shawn and Brett in 93.
93, yeah.
When it was the Intercontinental title and the WWF title, I think we're on the line. I forget. It was a while ago. I still, like, everyone blows up that WrestleMania 10 match like it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I just, it was good, but this had more drama, more storytelling. Like, it was done right because there was so much heat behind this feud. Yeah. Because you had the Nation of Domination versus DX. You had both leaders going at it for the top prize in the mid-card division, which was the Intercontinental title. And these guys... If I was Austin and Undertaker, I'd be biting my nails trying to figure out how we're going to top that match, you know, because
they couldn't.
They couldn't top the match.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, partner. That's a fair assessment. Yeah. So let's go to the main event for the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
Correct.
The Stone Cold Steve Austin, who had the pop. His pop was insane.
Let me ask you something. Have you been live? Were you live for a Road Warrior match at all? Legion of Doom match?
Not their NWA stuff, no.
What about the WWF?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people say that the Road Warrior pop was probably one of the loudest they've ever heard. However,
not Austin.
Not compared to Austin's.
Nope.
Dude, that man was super over in New York.
Super everywhere.
When he came to New York, the New Yorkers were like, he may be from Texas, but he's fucking New York. He's the type of person that we want to represent.
Correct.
New York.
Correct.
Because he had the same attitude as every fucking New Yorker at that time. Like, the I don't give a shit fucking attitude. If you don't like it, go fuck yourself. And that's the attitude that everyone had at that time because they were angry.
Basically.
I could live vicariously through Stone Cold's eyes at that time.
Well, the working man, everybody could. Everybody could.
He was like I couldn't do that, but he did it for me.
I'm going to go on record and say, next to Hulk Hogan, that was the greatest character in WWF history.
I would have to say so. I mean, he, like, his pay-per-view records were insane.
Right.
He drew millions of pay-per-view buys. He was doing much better than boxing fights.
Correct.
It's insane how much money he made for that company. Forget the pay-per-view guys. What about the merch? The merch he sold. These Austin 316 t-shirts. I had an Austin 316 t-shirt. I still see guys with Austin 316 t-shirts. I was in Midtown on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a guy with a Stone Cold Smoking Skull Stone Cold t-shirt.
That Smoking Skull belt? I love that. Ray, our buddy Ray has one.
Yeah, like, dude.
Yeah,
that guy was great. He was iconic.
He printed money, man. He was awesome.
He was iconic. And then I see his number one challenger for the WWF title, the Mook himself, the Dead Man.
To his credit, though, still super over. The fans loved him, man. Whether you like him or not,
most unbelievable character in wrestling history.
People loved it.
It was so fucking stupid.
People loved it, bro. Don't tell my sister Natalie that.
Oh, Natalie is going to hear this if she hears the show.
Oh, boy.
Natalie, I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell it to your face when I see you again. Uh-oh. I'm going to tell you on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
Undertaker fucking sucked.
Anyway, this match went 20 minutes and 52 seconds.
20 minutes that I fucking lost of my life
this
again.
This match wasn't terrible. I enjoyed this match.
The Undertaker knocked out Austin with his headbutt. He telegraphed the kick, and then he he used the back of his head to knock out Austin in a certain part of the match.
Well, one point what bothered me was Kane comes out and Taker tells him to go back to the dressing room.
Yeah.
That was kind of stupid. They go out, they fight out to the crowd.
Because I think Undertaker was like a tweener right now.
Correct. And at one point, Taker blocks the stunner.
Yes.
And then back outside, he puts Austin on the table, comes off the top rope, It was an insane diving fucking leg drop for
yes, onto the table.
Foot. Yeah. Austin manages to kick out of that. Austin fires up again, hits a real sloppy stunner.
The stunner was shitty.
Yeah, but gets chokeslammed for his actions because it was the shitty stunner, which I thought was pretty cool how he inadvertently messed up the fucking stunner, but Taker follows it up with a chokeslam just to take it away from... It kind of like... It's almost like, you know, when you're dancing with someone and you fuck up a move and someone, he carries it.
Like, Undertaker did that for Ric Flair at WrestleMania
yes,
18.
Yes. So... His dance partner saves him. So Taker saves him in this one. Taker goes for the old school. Austin catches him with a low blow as a counter. A stunner. Later, and then Austin retains.
Yep.
That's it. Smart finish. Came off a little anticlimactic. That's why probably you didn't like it. And this was their... this was up there with their Cold Day in Hell match. I think that match was better than this one. You remember the Cold Day in Hell?
Was that February?
Nah. I think so. Same year.
Was it? Oh, I forget. No, it wasn't February, because February was the match before WrestleMania where they it was that 8-man tag.
Yeah, no, it was a Cold Day in Hell. I forget which month it was, but that was better than that match. Let me look it up. Hold on. I'll tell you what now. Hold on.
Austin.
Hold on.
That might have been 97.
Hold on. Let me just look it up. I just want to, because I referenced it, and I didn't bring up the date, so.
I'm gonna think about this for a second.
No, I'm gonna pull it up.
No, I'm gonna think about like feud wise. Who had the best?
It was in your house '97. You're right.
It was right after WrestleMania. April.
It was May.
May.
You're right. 100%.
So you told me that you said to the fans and to me to myself that Triple H and Rock was probably the best feud that Triple H has ever had. Correct.
Yes.
What would you say is the best and not including McMahon? What would be the best Austin feud?
Austin feud in WWE? It's a toss-up between Triple H and Mankind. Because the Rock thing was fine. Him and Rock fucking tore it up. But it was, you know, you want to go hold for hold, it was Triple H. But I think Mankind brought out the rugged, angry, you know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of them. Shawn Michaels, he had a good run with.
Not really. It was only one match.
Yeah. but they had a series of...
The story.
Yeah.
I think... You're going to think I'm crazy.
Big Show?
No. They wasted that match, though.
Yeah.
They totally wasted
that one. Oh, yeah, 100%.
What a bunch of idiots on that one.
St. Valentine's Day, when they brought Big Show in. Remember that? The cage?
Yeah. 2001. It was him and Kurt Angle.
Oh, was this when Kurt was trying to win over Vince?
No, he was trying to win over Vince, and then Austin joins the Alliance.
Yes,
those series of matches. Oh,
that's not a bad
assessment. I really like those matches a lot. Don't get me wrong, I like the feud with him and The Rock. I love the feud with him and Triple H. I even like the feuds with him and Mankind.
Mankind was my favorite.
And Taker as well.
Yeah.
But let's also not forget, there's another feud that we're forgetting that made him a main eventer. Him and Bret.
Bret Hart, yeah.
That feud was fantastic. 96 to 90, end of 97, him and Bret tore it up.
100%.
It's so hard. He had so many great feuds. He really did.
And all those guys that we mentioned can all work.
Yeah.
Especially Angle. Angle is probably the best one technically.
And most of them are all Hall of Famers right now. Most of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but most of them.
They will be, though. Whoever's not will be.
Triple H is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Undertaker.
Oh, Undertaker.
On first ballot.
He needs to go in there.
Eventually.
As much as I hate him, he needs to be in there already.
No, I don't dislike him. You dislike him, though.
I think he's a piece of shit, but okay. Other than that.
What's going on in the chat room?
Let's see. Shaylin says the first dark... There was dark matches on this.
I didn't know.
And the first one was Too Much... And also known as Too Cool.
Rest in peace.
Defeated the LOD 2000.
Look. Oh, it's Sonny. Yeah, that was fucking terrible.
Second dark match was Gangrel defeating Dustin Runnels.
Oh, look at that.
And the third dark match was the Disciples of Apocalypse.
DOA.
Defeating Bradshaw and Vader.
Oh, shit.
All three matches lasted 3 minutes or less.
Of course.
Thank you, Shaylin, for that.
Thank you, Shaylin.
Shaylin also said, Austin was the total opposite of the cookie-cutter babyface wrestler. He was the anti-hero that didn't give a fuck, and I loved it.
Everybody did.
And then she also goes on to say, Would you guys agree that Austin versus McMahon storyline was during the Attitude Era was the greatest feud? It was.
It might be. Well, it was the WWE.
It was the feud that held that company together.
It made them the money.
It made them super. Because we
even once Vince made himself a character, it was a wrap.
And you want to know something? If it wasn't for the Montreal Screwjob, we wouldn't have had the McMahon character. Because I don't think they were intending to make him a villain yet.
Speaking of screw jobs, I think it's this week or last week's. Download Jericho's podcast. He replays the one that he did with Jim Neidhart and Tyson Kidd.
Really?
And he talked about the screw job.
Oh, dude.
He was there.
And I want to see what his from his viewpoint.
He tells you what happened in the locker room.
Like, legit?
Yeah, what happened.
And I probably believe everything he would say, too. Because, I mean, he was... Why would Jim lie about that shit?
He didn't have to. He was there, you know, just like everybody else was.
I still think it's a work.
Well,
we had this debate.
Yeah, debate already. Yeah, yeah.
I still think it's a work.
Yeah.
You know what? Greatest feud in terms of making the money for the company. Yeah, it probably was the greatest feud the WWF had that time. They made a lot of money off of that McMahon feud, because McMahon was the umbrella, and you had. So many other characters that came from that umbrella. You had Triple H that would come in to defend McMahon. You had Undertaker come in there and defend McMahon. You had Kane fight Austin. Then you have Mankind. And it kind of trickled out to other characters. I seen Big Boss Man was also involved in some Austin fights as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of great feuds. Like I said before, I don't remember the matches, but I love the moments that were produced in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Who could forget Mark Henry caressing a transvestite?
Yeah.
Which was not... I really hated that fucking storyline.
I think everybody did. What about the Katie Vick thing?
Oh, my God. That was post-Attitude Era.
Post-Attitude Era, yeah.
But that was fucking dreadful.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit that went on.
That was the Ruthless Aggression era.
Ruthless Aggression, that's right. You're right. All right. Ready to get out of here?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Let's play some music. Let's get out of here.
Really?
For you.
Yeah! Nice!
My little gypsy king.
Yeah!
Wish you could see Joppy dancing. Anyway, so listen, we hope you guys enjoyed this. You will get a show from Chicago, and then we're back on Thursday, this September 6th.
Yeah!
It's gonna be cool.
It's gonna be great.
Just follow us on social media. You know all the gimmicks. All the websites. I think that's it, man.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody for hanging out with us on Fridays.
Yeah, thank you.
If something changes, we'll switch it back up. It's, you know, not a big deal.
I mean, if you guys can't make it on Thursday,
listen to Friday.
Listen to us on Friday. It'll be up on Friday again. And if you can't listen to us Friday, listen to us on download again. You know, whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. Tune in.
Tune in. Audio Boom.
Audio Boom.
Google Play.
Go to TurboGoTurboBags.com and listen to us there.
Shining Wizards Network.
Go to Rant EM Radio.
EM Radio.
Go to ProWrestlingTees.com.
Buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt.
I'm going in next week.
He's going to ProWrestlingTees to go to the physical store and buy himself a New Japan shirt, maybe.
Yeah. And a Road Warrior shirt. I want a Road Warrior shirt.
What else? What other plugs?
Support all of our friends. You know
support
that.
Wrestling Soup. Support Don Tony, Kevin Castle.
All of our friends. Geeks of the industry.
We support Rant EM Radio. We have a great group of guys there. Please support them.
All their shows. The Wizard shows.
The Wizards. Wizards are great.
Inclusive.
Midnight Jury.
Dan Lopez.
Jay Baca.
All of our people. We love you all. Thank you very much.
I know we have a lot of podcasts, but listen to them all, though. There's a lot of fresh ideas out there.
A lot. All right.
And if you don't, fuck you.
Nice. So on behalf of my tag team partner, the Chop Stein, the Impact Player, Philly Ray, reminding you, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to take care of yourself, each other, invest. Be nice. Be a good human being. Take care of yourselves. Take care of everybody.
Be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
What do you mean?
Don't be an asshole like you.
Fuck them.
Good night. Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. Yo la prefiero vivir así.